It's great to see you this morning, and for those of you whispering to each other, who's that guy? My name's Nick, and I'm here with my wife Margie, and I'm kind of a guest speaker, but I'm also increasingly part of the furniture here. But Margie and I are often involved in ministering in other places around the city on any given Sunday, which is why we're not here. So we're not having a bludge. Sometimes we're having a bludge, but mostly we've got other things on. Here, but thank you for your warm welcome once again here at East Frio Church. It's great to be with you. And today we continue our series called House of Prayer with our topic for this message, With Open Ears. So we're going to be talking about listening to God. What does it mean to listen to God? Does God still speak? How do we hear Him? And so this morning we're going to take a look at one of the most beautiful stories of the Old Testament, the story of the Lord speaking to a young boy named Samuel. And it's just a great reminder to us this morning that God speaks to people of all ages. He speaks to children. And I can see there are some kids here this morning. Let me assure you, kids, that God can speak to you. God wants to speak to you. And like Samuel, you need to learn to hear His voice. And in fact, Jesus says, and this is for all of us, unless you become like little children, then you'll never see the kingdom of God. Interesting, isn't it? As we get older, the danger is we become so kind of clever and sophisticated that we lose that childlike simplicity of faith that God requires of us. When Jesus taught His disciples, He often used the imagery of a shepherd and described Himself as the good shepherd, and He said, "My sheep hear My voice." If we can go on to that next screen, thanks. My sheep hear My voice. It's a reminder that in the day-to-day lives that we lead, we should nurture an expectation that the Lord, the good shepherd, will speak to us. Do you expect that in your day-to-day life, that God will speak to you? He'll speak into your specific circumstances. If you know the story of Samuel, you'll recall that he was something of a miracle baby. His mother Hannah was not able to have children, and she cried out to God. We read in 1 Samuel, she poured her heart out to Him, and the Lord was gracious to her and gave her 5 children in the end. Her response was to dedicate young Sam's life fully to the Lord. She said, "For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord." This was the destiny for Samuel. The setting of the story today is one in which the word of the Lord was rare and there were not many visions. And so, again, we understand from Scripture that there are periods of history when the Lord speaks very actively and clearly, and other periods of history where the Lord speaks less. In Moses' day, for example, we know the Lord spoke to Moses through the burning bush, like very clear speaking. He spoke and delivered commandments to Moses. He spoke to the people of Israel in that day through the pillar of fire by night, the pillar of cloud by day. Quite an openly visible means of communication with His people. It's very clear. Exodus 33:11 says, "The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend." But then fast forward to the time of the Judges, which was a period of about 270 years. The spiritual tone of that period is well summarized by Judges 17:6, which says, "In those days Israel had no king, and everyone did as they saw fit." In those days Israel had no earthly king, neither did they recognize the kingship of Yahweh. So everyone just did whatever they wanted to do without any reference to God. Might sound a bit familiar. And so in that day the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. This is the setting of our story for this morning. But what about today? Is the word of the Lord rare? And does God still speak? Well, it's an important question. Well, biblically speaking, we now live in a period of time known as the end times or the last days. It's the period between the coming of Jesus and when He returns again. That period is known theologically as the last days or the end times. The promise of Scripture is that in these last days, your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Read men and women into that whole scenario. Now, I no longer fit into that young man category. There are three people in my life who legitimately call me grandpa. That's not a youthful title, trust me. And so I think I should expect the dreams rather than the visions. But unlike Samuel, we live in a time when the Lord does speak, and when those who have ears to hear will hear his voice, as we understand the Holy Spirit is poured out on men and women, young and old, adults and children. So let's read this story about Samuel, a young boy who hears from the Lord. Speaking of young boys who hear from the Lord, Nicodemus is going to come and bring us the word this morning. Let's welcome him this morning.
The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
Excellent work. Thanks, Nicodemus. Don't you love that whole dynamic of that story of Samuel? He keeps getting out of bed. And dear old Eli saying, "Go back to bed. Go to bed." I think we can all relate to those scenarios with children who just don't want to go to bed and then don't want to stay in bed. So Samuel, thinking that it's Eli the priest calling his name, he's got this beautiful childlike response. He gets up and he runs to Eli. He says, "Here I am. You called me." And after calling three times, the Bible says, the Lord came and stood there. That's interesting, isn't it? The Lord came and stood there calling, "Samuel, Samuel." And after the third time, as instructed by Eli the priest, this time Samuel responds, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." So I want to suggest there are a number of things about Samuel's posture, his disposition, if you like, that we can learn from as we seek to listen for the voice of God in our lives. Importantly, these are childlike things, actually. It's a posture of openness and availability. It's a posture of willingness to serve. Have a think about it. Do you have these postures in your own life? You've got a willingness to step in and help when help is required. It's a posture of humility and an acceptance, which is, again, very childlike, an acceptance of the truth. There are things that I don't fully understand, actually. There are things that I don't know. There are times when I'm not sure what to do. I don't have all the answers. And so I need to turn to the Lord for help. Our help is in the name of the Lord. It's okay to not know what to do. It's even better to go to the Lord with that posture of heart that says, "Lord, I'm not sure what to do here. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to respond. Would you help me?" So I'm going to assume that most of us in the room this morning believe that God does still speak today. And if that's true, the logical question is, how then does God speak? And I've come across a number of people over the years who have heard the audible voice of God, as Samuel did. But I'd suggest that's actually not all that common. Certainly it's not part of my own experience. I'm going to love that. But there's no doubt in my mind that God speaks to his people, that he does so in a variety of ways. And I know many people who quite regularly have dreams that the Lord gives them. And over time, they've learned to discern the voice of God and his clear direction through dreams. I think it's something you can ask the Lord. Lord, would you speak to me? Speak to me through dreams as you go to bed at night. Speak to me through my dreams, Lord. It's a good prayer. Samuel didn't immediately recognize the voice of God, but he learned to discern it. And the same is true for us as we nurture a prayerful life, that over time we learn to discern and recognize the voice of God. Many people would say that God speaks to them through his creation. That perhaps shouldn't surprise us. The scripture confirms that. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. God speaks through his creation. In wonderful ways, he reveals his nature, his love, his power, his attention to detail through his created order. It's beautiful. But there are three key ways the Lord speaks to us today by his Spirit that I want to touch on this morning. And they are the Bible, through prayer, and through our circumstances. And so number one, the Bible is a key way the Lord speaks today. You know, I have a friend who from time to time goes prospecting for gold. It's a bit of a hobby of his, and he goes off to places like Coolgardie and the gold fields for that very purpose. And he'll be the first one to tell you that to find gold, you don't just wander along the main streets of Coolgardie and, collect giant nuggets out of the gutter. If only it were that easy. But no, prospecting for gold takes a lot of intentionality. It takes research and effort and time and patience. But for those who are prepared to immerse themselves in that practice, that discipline, the rewards are there. And not unusually, my friend will return home with some gold. Not enough to, buy a yacht, but some gold nevertheless. I'd suggest the same's true for the Word of God, that there's gold in these pages, but the Lord wants to plant in us a hunger for the gold nuggets of his Word. And so the scriptures, we understand, are not to be used as a kind of a spiritual lucky dip where you open a page at random and kind of plonk your finger down, hoping it's going to land on something relevant. God wants to sow in us a discipline that requires the investment of some effort, some time, some patience on our part to spend diligently exploring the pages of this book, immersing ourselves in the scriptures in order to discover the specific word he has for us in any given season. And in order to discover the gold that's to be found in these pages, it takes some prospecting. A few years ago, I remember I went through a brief season where I was waking up at 3 a.m. every night, like almost exactly 3 a.m. After a few nights of this, I sensed that it was the Lord getting my attention, so I started getting up just for half an hour, just to read the Word and pray. I guess it was my version of, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Okay, Lord, if you're going to wake me up at 3 a.m., then I'll get up and spend some time with you. Well, at one of those 3 a.m. appointments, I still remember I was reading through Isaiah in my regular reading practice, and this particular verse just leapt out of the page at me. Have you ever had that experience of reading the Word of God and something just leaps out and you just go, wow, this is for me. This is something for me right now. It was Isaiah 50 verse 4, which says, "The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed." And in that moment I thought, wow, okay. You've got my attention, Lord. God spoke to me through that verse. He was waking me up because he needed my full attention. He was instructing me. And, you know, in days following that, in the middle of the night, he would give me specific words for people that would be life for them, words that would encourage them and sustain them. He's giving me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. So for me, I had that experience in the context of an active relational prayer life, a life in which I was spending time in the Word of God, prospecting for the goal that the Lord would reveal to me. I don't always find that easy. I'm not always consistent with my reading of Scripture, but for me, as a matter of course, I do seek to spend time every day just reading blocks of Scripture, soaking in the Word of God. God speaks through His Word. Why would we not invest the time in it? Number two, God speaks through prayer. And the Bible is literally full of accounts of people hearing God speak to them, and today's story is a good example. Having said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," God does speak to Samuel, and he says something quite specific and important to this young lad. Well, I can remember as a young teenager, I've kind of grown up in the church, been in the church all my life. In fact, Margie and I grew up in the same church, a little church called McGill Baptist Church in Adelaide. And I was maybe 15, 16 years old, going along to church, and now and then hearing people say from the platform, "I was praying and God told me to do such and such," or "God told me to speak to this person." I remember thinking at the time as a young teenager, well, I wish that would happen for me. Obviously, there's something wrong with my faith or my journey. God doesn't seem to speak to me like that. And I was so troubled as a teenager by this thought, this idea that God doesn't speak to me. I went to chat with my pastor, and he very wisely and gently sat me down, a guy by the name of Frank Smith, and he said, "Well, you know, first of all, when people say God told me, they generally haven't heard an audible voice. They just have a sense from the Lord that a certain thing is right, a certain direction is right. As they're praying, there's just sort of a sense that comes to them, and so then they follow that sense. That's a part of what faith looks like. Discerning something that you believe is from God and then following, stepping out in faith and in obedience to that. And secondly," he said, "hearing the voice of Jesus is something that you learn over time as you walk by faith. My sheep hear my voice." And so I would say to you, you do hear his voice, Nick, but you're young in your faith and you need to learn more about listening to God and discerning, following his voice. You know, I was very encouraged by that as a young teenager. Discovered that my pastor's words were very true. And so I began my own journey with prayer. And what I'd say this morning is that we all need to find our own journey. All of our journeys in prayer are different. There's no kind of cookie cutter methodology that works the same way for everyone. We need to discover our own ways of coming to God with open ears. An old friend of mine shared with me one time that when her husband died, she got into the habit of getting up early in the morning and sitting and just spending time with the Lord. And she had a designated room in her house and a chair that she always sat in to pray. And she nurtured the habit of making two cups of tea, one for herself and one for the Lord. He doesn't take sugar, by the way, just for the record. Now, that might, you might think, oh, nutbag alert. you might think that's a little bit odd. But you know what? It helped her. She suddenly found herself alone without a husband. It helped her. It was a tangible reminder for her that Jesus was really present with her in those precious moments. He didn't drink his tea, by the way. that would have been a miracle. But it helped her. And so that's what she did. As for me, you know, I find the moment I sit down, I'm easily distracted. My phone starts pinging, or I start, you know, suddenly remember something that I was about to do earlier, but I forgot. So it doesn't work for me just to sit. And so what I've discovered works for me is I walk. I walk and I pray. And there's a spot down by the river near my home that is my prayer spot. And on my way, I pray sometimes out loud if there's no one around. As I'm walking along just quietly to myself, I say, "Lord, thank you that you're walking with me this morning. As I walk, Lord, that you're walking with me, I think, for the road to Emmaus and the journey as Jesus was walking with the disciples. And so I start to pray, thank you, Lord, that you're with me. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your presence. Sometimes I sing a song or I listen to a song. Other times I just tell the Lord what's on my mind. As I'm walking, Father, here are the things I'm concerned about today. Here are some things I just feel anxious. I've got this meeting coming up later today and I feel anxious about it. I talk to the Lord about those things. Some people journal. That's never really been a helpful thing for me, but it's very helpful for some other people. You need to discover what is it that does help and do that. What connects you with the Lord? What enables you to hear his voice with that posture of openness and availability? Do those things. For me, sometimes as I'm spending time with the Lord, somebody's name drops into my mind unexpectedly. You know what? I've taken to shooting a quick text to such a person straight away. Not to say, God told me to text you, right? Because that would be weird. But to say very honestly, hey, I was just praying and your name came to mind. That's exactly what happened. I was just praying and your name came to mind. And so I hope you're doing okay. Just a simple little text. You know, people always appreciate that. They always appreciate that. And now and then someone will respond by saying, thank you so much. You know what, I think it was God that it prompted you. Because right now I'm going through some stuff and I'd love you to be praying for me. Well, praise God. Number three, circumstances. If we have ears to hear, God will speak to us in the everyday circumstances of life. He invites us to discover and live a prayerful life, to nurture an awareness of the presence of God in the ordinary day-to-day lives that we live, as we get up in the morning, as we shower, as we eat. I'm surprised the number of people who tell me God spoke to me in the shower. I mean, how often does that happen? I think there's a certain vulnerability, you know, when you're standing naked under the water. God speaks to us in the shower. As we go to work, as we enjoy recreation, as we lie down at night, the Lord's with us. He's with us in all of the circumstances of life, and the Lord speaks. But are we attuned to his voice? One of the things I've learned over the last 12 months or so is that God speaks in the midst of pain. In fact, and I've always loved this quote, C.S. Lewis says, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Well, Margie and I went through a very painful experience a year or so ago, and at our lowest point, I experienced a very distressing spiritual attack early one morning. I've shared this with some of you. Dan actually suggested I share it again this morning. I had this very frightening dream involved being surrounded by crocodiles that were snapping their jaws. Like, you know, have you ever seen a crocodile that jumps up and snaps its jaws? It's very frightening. And I was surrounded by these things snapping their jaws close to my face. It was terrifying. I'd never had really an experience quite like it. It was more than just a dream. And then in the dream, and there was this kind of this half-dreaming, half-waking moment where there was this huge serpent in the dream. It was a very evil, frightening dream. And Margie and I cried out the name of Jesus together, actually, in the end. And whatever this thing was, which, again, I'd suggest was something more than just a dream, departed. And very soon after that, I received a message from a dear friend of mine in the UK who sent me this scripture from Job 36. The scripture says, I think we've got it up there, he is wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place free from restriction, to the comfort of your table laden with choice food. That was courtesy of my friend on the other side of the world, a pastor by the name of Roger Sutton. God's rhema word for me, right at that point in time. It was a very powerful and comforting reminder that God was still with us, that he had a plan for me, that he was releasing me into a new space with new freedom for a new season, and that he would provide generously for Margie and me, a table laden with choice food. Well, we're still on that journey, but it has indeed been our experience, and we praise God for His provision, His direction, for doors that continue to open up before us. Because my testimony this morning is that God is faithful. He doesn't cause our pain, but He uses it, and my goodness, He speaks to us in the midst of it. He speaks today. He's never changing. He wants to speak to you. He speaks through His creation. He speaks through the Scriptures. He speaks through prayer. And He speaks through your circumstances, and particularly in the midst of whatever the pain is that you're going through. And He speaks to us all differently. How might He be speaking to you? Perhaps you're still discovering that. Why don't you ask Him? In fact, why don't we do that right now? Let's just pause as we close and come to Him in prayer right now. Father, we thank You, even as we began this time of looking to Your Word this morning, that Your Word is living and active. That, Lord Jesus, You are a living and active God, that You interact with Your people. That Your heart's desire is to be in relationship with us, to speak with us, to communicate with us. So, Lord, we pray that You would give us ears to hear the things that You're saying to us. Give us creativity, Lord, as we explore different means, different ways of hearing from You through Your creation, through Your Word, through prayer, through one another, through Your circumstances that You place us in. Father, open our ears. And we do ask, Lord, that You would speak to our hearts. I pray that even now in these times of quietness that You'd be prompting us, encouraging us, reminding us, Lord, that You are here, that You are with us. That as we go into a new week, whatever challenges it holds, whatever uncertainties, that the living God goes with us. Encourage us, Lord, this morning with these precious truths from Your Word. Thank You, Father. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.